This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. Linda Swain on Target St. John's. My guest today is the president of the Registered Nurses Union of Newfoundland and Labrador, Debbie Forward. Good afternoon, Debbie.
Good afternoon, Linda.
Now, we're going to have an abbreviated show today. I know you've been informed, but I'll let our audience know that Federal Finance Minister Bill Morneau is expected to give a bit of a fiscal update anytime now, so we'll be going to that, followed by the provincial COVID-19 update at 2 p.m., so we'll be listening for that as well, and we'll be carrying all that live. So if we have to abbreviate the show, I'm sorry, Debbie, we'll have to make arrangements for another time because I know there's lots to talk about. So first of all, how are nurses coping right now?
It's a very challenging time. You know, the whole province has a heightened level of anxiety and concern around the pandemic, and certainly, you know, registered nurses and nurse practitioners are public members. They're mothers and fathers and daughters and granddaughters. So they have that anxiety as well. But of course, they're also the people who will be on the front line and battling this virus right at the center when individuals either are, you know, trying to convalesce in the home or being tested in the community or having to care for patients in our various institutions across the province. So it's no surprise to me that, you know, they have some fear. They know that this is a role and that they certainly will care for patients and be there for patients and their families, but they're also afraid that they are at a greater risk of becoming infected with this virus. And for them, then, it's about making sure they don't bring it home to their families. That's what I'm hearing. Probably most of all is, I'm so afraid I will bring this to my family, you know, unwillingly and unknowingly, and that's creating certainly a lot of anxiety as well.
Now, the College of Nurses is now appealing to non-practicing and retired nurses to help with surge capacity. Is that welcome news?
It is welcome news, and we've seen that in various other provinces in the country as well. It is around preparedness and planning. I mean, obviously, we're all hopeful that we won't require retired RNs or NPs to come back from retirement to help out and do what they can to fight this pandemic, but we have to be prepared for that eventuality or that need. And I'm pleased that, you know, the province and the college are taking these very progressive and positive steps because we're going to be very dependent on making sure that we have the frontline staff to care for people, in whether they're in an acute care system or they're in the community. And of course, you know, we can't forget long-term care as well, that there's we have to always keep that group on top of minds, and there is a potential, obviously, that we'll need additional staff for those centers as well.
Access to appropriate personal protective equipment, that's something that you have been advocating for some time now, in particular with the N95 mask. For those of us not in the healthcare field, we're not sure what that is or how it differs from the regular surgical mask that you often see people using. So what is the difference, and what makes the N95 mask so important at this time?
That's a really good question. We use these terms in the healthcare sector because we understand what they mean. And thank you for the opportunity to explain the difference. So a surgical mask is a very basic mask. It's loose fitting. It's disposable. So after you wear it, you know, for a period of time or for a certain patient, you throw it out. These types of masks don't form any seal around the mouth or the nose, so the sides are open and it's not tight to your face. And essentially, we call them sort of our everyday masks. You know, if you need to wear a mask, you put on a surgical mask, and they're really effective at blocking splashes or large particles. Say when you sneeze, the very large particles can be blocked by this mask. But what it doesn't do is filter the very tiny airborne particles of this virus that could be in the air, which is one of the reasons why we're recommending that a fit-tested mask, we sometimes call these the N95, that's one brand that is out there. So every single worker in healthcare, if you're on the front line, is supposed to be fit-tested. So that means you have to go through a procedure to make sure the mask fits tightly around your face and your nose, so those tiny airborne particles don't get access to your airways and you don't breathe them in so that you potentially would get sick. So our recommendation to government is that we err on the side of caution with the personal protection equipment. And of course, PPE, as we call it for short, it's not just about a mask. It's also around gowns and gloves and face shields and a mask, so that, because you have to protect your whole body. But a key piece of that is the mask that you're wearing. And we believe we should err on the side of caution that, you know, this is a new virus. We're still learning more and more about the virus every day, and we're adjusting our practices based on new information available. And we believe because it's such a new virus that we should always err on the side of caution. So government has taken the position that this everyday surgical mask is fine, that we don't need to block those tiny airborne particles that could be present in the air from a patient who's diagnosed with COVID-19 or someone who's suspected to have COVID-19. And our position is, you know what? We should make sure. We should make sure that we're protecting workers against all particles, the large, the small, the splashes, the not, and that when the RN believes that in their professional judgment that this patient in their circumstance now they need to wear that extra protection for those airborne particles, that we should trust the judgment of the RN or the NP or any other health frontline provider and give them access to the mask that will not only capture the larger particles, but also the tiny ones as well.
Indeed, because as we all know, if someone is sick and coughing or anything, a number of things that happen to a patient over a course of an illness, the face shields, I was thinking, must be absolutely critical, because it doesn't matter if it gets in through your airway or through your eyes. If somebody coughs and you get those particles in your eyes or around your eyes, that's got to be a terrible stress for a nurse or healthcare practitioner.
It is, and I mean, it's one of the reasons why the personal protection equipment is such an important thing for frontline staff. And, you know, we're very familiar with using PPE because we use it for other infections, such as tuberculosis, for example. So, you know, the use of this equipment is not unusual to staff, and they have training on it in terms of how to put it on and take it off. And I'd mentioned just a minute ago about the importance of the individual assessment by the RN. But we also believe that there are certain areas in our system, and especially the acute care areas like emergency and intensive care or the COVID unit floors, because right now various acute care institutions are designating certain units as COVID units as part of their preparedness. So if you're working on one of those units, in our opinion, that the standard mask, along with your face shield, your gloves, and your gown, the standard mask in those areas should be the fit-tested mask or the N95. And that is because of the acuteness of the patients in that area, that the higher probability that certain procedures would have to be done with these patients, such as having to suction the patient if they're not able to cough up their mucus, or having to put a tube down in their throat because they're unable to breathe, that in the areas where the incidence of these procedures being very likely and happening frequently, that the standard protection in all of those areas should be the N95. Because one of the things that government and ourselves do absolutely align on is the fact that when you're doing these procedures, there is a significantly greater risk that these tiny airborne particles will be released into the air. So rather than, you know, the RN having on their surgical mask to do the normal care, as government is suggesting. And then if the patient needs to be suctioned, you need to leave the room, get the different mask to put on, make sure it's fit properly, put on some more gloves, go back in the room, and start suctioning. We believe that that RN in the room should be prepared for anything. And when they go in that patient's room, that they're prepared for the big particles and the tiny particles. It doesn't matter what the procedure or the acuity or complexity of the patient, that they're prepared for every eventuality to keep them safe, but also to keep other patients safe.
Debbie Forward is the president of the Registered Nurses Union. She's my guest on Target St. John's. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today is the president of the Registered Nurses Union of Newfoundland and Labrador, Debbie Forward, and we've been talking about some of the very serious concerns that nurses have during this very uncertain time. And, of course, nurses at the very forefront of the healthcare system. Another major concern, of course, is childcare issues, because nurses, absolutely essential workers, they have to go to work, and some of them don't have those childcare options that are available to some other people, and they don't have the ability to say, I'm not coming in. So the provincial government has set a condition on childcare centres to sign on to providing childcare to essential workers, or the money won't flow. That's the compensation package that they put together. But are we any closer to a solution there? Because I know that's been a concern among childcare operators.
And certainly it's a concern for registered nurses and nurse practitioners as well. And we were one of the groups that lobbied government around the child care issue. And it stems from, conversations that I've had with healthcare leaders for many years now around what happens to the healthcare system if there's a snow day and schools are closed. And typically that takes, up to a third of staff out of the healthcare system because they don't have any childcare for their children and therefore have to stay home. And that's tough to manage on any given day. But if we're into a pandemic now, when this could go on for months and months and schools closed and daycare's closed, then how do essential workers access childcare? So those discussions were happening with government over a period of time, and the original solution certainly put out by government was around these daycares, licensed daycares opening, that all infection control principles would be followed in terms of social distancing, and how those types of discussions, my understanding, were had. And I know that there were some concerns coming from that sector, and of course that's their sector and they understand it best, so I'm sure they very eloquently put their concerns to the provincial government. So then we moved to what else can we do? Is there another solution? So just this past weekend, actually, government reached out to those who had signed up for daycare services if they were essential. My understanding is government reached out to these individuals and offered them another option whereby government would support, through some funding, the individuals trying to get someone to come into their home to look after their children while they went to work. So we've heard lots of positive comments from our members in terms of this being another option for them. And, my understanding is we're still working through that process. It's very challenging. It's very stressful. I talked to just one of my members this morning, and he was particularly stressed because he normally does 8-hour shifts. And the employer notified him yesterday that his schedule is being changed, where he works is being changed, and now he has to do 12-hour shifts. But he doesn't have any child care for the extra 4 hours. And he said, what am I going to do? They told me it was supposed to start tomorrow. And I said, well, I talked to him about the process around that and how he could address it with his employer. But he was really stressed, and I understand that. So we need to look at innovative ways to support essential workers. one of the things I said to the Premier and the Minister of Health, you know, around around stress levels of essential workers is we need to collectively work together to take as much stress off their plate as possible. I see trying to find solutions around childcare is one stressor that we as a community and as a society can support and take off their plate. I see, you know, allowing registered nurses and NPs and other workers to avail of the personal protection equipment that they believe based on their assessment they need is a way to remove another stressor. And the more that we can collectively do like that, I think will ease that burden on the frontline people who are in the middle of this pandemic every single day when they go to work.
Indeed, and it's forcing us all really to think outside of our normal procedures and parameters, isn't it? It's forcing us to look at things in a very different kind of way. And, of course, nurses have always been on the front line. They've always been able to think on their feet, so to speak. So it adds just another challenge to what they're doing.
It is. And you know, we take so many services for granted. And I know there's been, you know, on social media, a lot of acknowledgement of all essential workers. And in particular, I'd like to acknowledge those workers, you know, that we just expect to be there, you know, the cashiers and the people who stock the shelves at our supermarket, you know, or at the drugstore, or, you know, wherever we have to go to get some of those everyday essential things. We don't, you know, we sort of don't look at them and say how important you are to us being able to function as a society. So this, you know, brings out the best in people. I think it reminds us of the value that everyone brings. You know, it is a team effort, a collective effort. You know, when we're faced with a crisis like this, the importance of everyone doing their part, and we all have a part to play. And I think a pandemic is and the need to self-isolate is so almost empowering, could be empowering for every single person in this province. Because if we stay home, if we do what we're told, we each individually will contribute to decreasing the number of people who get sick, decreasing the number of people who are hospitalized, decreasing the number of people who will potentially die, decreasing the stress on our healthcare providers, decreasing the stress on our economy. We're all contributing to something better in the future, and every single person in this province is part of that. We all have a part to play. No one is more important than the other in terms of stopping the transmission of that virus. We need to listen to the public health officials about what we need to do and take it very seriously, because we're all playing a positive role, if we choose to play it, to making sure we stop this virus in its tracks.
Nurses play an absolutely vital role as well when it comes to healthcare. They're that personal touch. They're that person that you look for comfort when you're scared. They give you that hand on the arm, say, it's okay, we're going to do this procedure now, this is how this is going to work, you're doing great. You know, we look to them for that kind of support. Are nurses, you know, playing more of that kind of a role these days as well?
Oh, absolutely. And they understand that in, you know, in the healthcare system, they are experts in their field in the healthcare system. And they're not only being depended on for their knowledge and expertise and caring within the system when they work, but they're also having to put that on display in their communities. And, you know, if anybody is sick or has a question, who do you call? You call the registered nurse and the family. So, and people are nervous, so they're reaching out and they're asking more questions. And I know that our members are there no matter whether it's in a community setting and reaching out by phone or by FaceTime, however they're connecting with people around them, providing advice and support there. But also they're there for patients, you know, when they are most vulnerable and they're scared. It doesn't mean that the nurse that's caring for you is not scared too, but you know what? They're scared in a different way. They want to do their best. They want to be there, and they're going to be there. They're not going to leave you alone. They're going to give you the information. And, you know, our system and our patients and the people in it are so stressed right now because of the visitor limitations, which, you know, I think we all need to, if you have someone in hospital or in long-term care and you can't go visit them, you understand that you can't be there. But for most of us, if we're not going through that, we don't understand the stress that puts on the individual who's in the long-term care home or who's in the hospital. They have no support system, none, except maybe someone who might call by phone. So RNs and nurse practitioners and other providers, this isn't just about registered nurses and MPs. This is all workers in the system, you know, want to do that bit extra to support people because their families can't be there. And that's also an additional stressor. And we talked about that, you know, especially in terms of the long-term care system where, you know, elderly, some of them don't understand why their family isn't visiting. They're missing that familiar face. So, it, you know, these workers are conscious of that, very cognizant of that. So they're spending extra time with these residents to support them, to be there for them, so that, you know, the trauma and the stress of them not seeing their families is not quite as bad. And that certainly is placing an additional responsibility on the shoulders of the people who are doing their best within our system.
Debbie Forward, president of the Registered Nurses Union, is my guest on Target St. John's today. We were going to take a break to go to Bill Morneau. He's not available right now. So, Debbie, we're going to take you right through to 2 o'clock, if that's all right with you. But we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Debbie Forward, the president of the Registered Nurses Union of Newfoundland and Labrador, is my guest today. And Debbie, nurses always up for the job. They're at the very front lines. They're used to stress and high levels of stress, that kind of thing. But what about the personal fears? Because nurses do have families. And, you know, if you've been dealing with something intense all day, you're not normally afraid about bringing it home to your family. This is different.
This is different, and we are seeing, you know, great anxiety in our members around what if they bring this virus home, you know, to my children, to my, you know, my partner, whoever they're living with. And we're hearing certainly stories of our members saying they're not wearing their uniform home anymore, that they're changing at work to regular clothes. They're putting their uniform in a bag, and as soon as they get home, they put it in the washer, and then they immediately go get a shower before they touch anything, before they talk to their kids. Even, you know, some of my members say they tell their partner to take their kids in the bedroom until they're out of the shower to try to decrease contact with them. We have members who said that they're moving out of their homes. They've moved in with a coworker who, you know, who's an RN who might be in the same situation or in someone's basement apartment to isolate themselves from their children. Many, many stories like that. And certainly this is, you know, this is a different situation. We had H1N1 back, you know, a number of years ago, but we had a vaccine against that, so anxiety was less. But on this particular virus, there is no vaccine, there is no treatment. We've seen that it, you know, it is highly transmitted from individual to individual. So it doesn't surprise me that people are really nervous. And they're doing what needs to be done. I'm so proud of them because they are thinking about that. And it stresses me that they should have to, but I'm still really proud that they're saying, okay, these are the additional steps that I'm going to do to protect my family, like not wearing my uniform home, et cetera, and washing hands really well, which they're doing other times every day. And, you know, we are seeing government, and I've mentioned this before, about the, you know, equipment that they wear within facilities and how important that is. And we are seeing government take very strong precautions around, you know, getting people to isolate, saying to encourage you to isolate, we will pay you. you know, now you have to isolate for this longer or that longer. Now we want you to do this. So they're strengthening their precautions all the way along. And we want them to do the same for the people who are on the front line and at the face of this virus every single day, which is why we've been advocating for the professional judgment of the RN and NP around what protection equipment they should wear, advocating for the N95 in certain areas to protect against those really tiny droplets. And we're actually going to get our members and the public involved in this campaign. Now, we've been talking about this for weeks. We are having good discussion, but right now we're still where we are. So we'll be launching an email campaign this week where we're going to ask our members and members of the public to join us in calling on government to upgrade their personal protection equipment guidelines for frontline workers. That we need to say to these workers, you are needed in the healthcare system. We don't want you to get sick. We're going to do the maximum. We're going to err on the side of caution. And this is what we're going to do to support you so we can take that burden off your shoulders, that you can feel, be more confident that you're not going to get sick from this virus. You're not going to bring it home to your family.
Has government to now been responsive to the concerns of nurses and other frontline workers?
There are many, many things we're bringing to government and employers, and they have been very responsive on. And the child care is just one example of that. And, you know, we're talking to employers on a daily basis in terms of some of the things that are bubbling up from our members, ways to improve communication, ways to improve, you know, processes or procedures. There's many things we're working together, and we're committed to working together on every single thing. Frontline workers want to be involved in these conversations. We want to be part of the discussion. We want to know what's going on so we can be part of the solution no matter what the issue is. But we also want to make sure we're keeping our healthcare workers well. We don't want them to get sick. We can't afford to lose any one of them. And I think the fact that we talked right out earlier in our conversation about reaching out for retired people to come back to the workplace, we're doing that so that we can gear up, you know, so we can have greater surge capacity in case we need it within our system. What we don't need is to lose a significant number of healthcare providers because we haven't been providing them that protection from those tiny droplets. We need to err on the side of caution. We need to keep our workers healthy and keep them working in the system to support every single one of us.
Debbie Forward, our best to all registered nurses out there, all the frontline healthcare workers who are trying their very best to keep us all well and keep us healthy. Our deepest appreciation out to all of your members. All the best to you now and stay well.
Thank you very much, and I want to do a special shout out to all of those people who are supporting frontline workers, their family, their friends, the public. Keep it up. It really means a lot to have that support.
Indeed. Debbie Forward, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been On Target St. John's.